Welcome to In the Name of Game.
Welcome once again to In the Name of Game, a video game podcast. Today is October 17th, 2013.
Welcome back to our show. I'm your host, Iggy.
And I'm co-host Colin.
And I'm co-host Knox.
There's no Adam tonight.
No. Adam is tending to his many kittens, apparently, I think.
Oh, that's so cute. The smart-ass capita is down tonight.
Yeah. So. Now you just have pure ass instead of just smart ass.
Oh.
Perfect.
Well, great. So we got some stuff to talk about tonight. There's some updates to, I think, previous things we've talked about. But it's been kind of a slow week so far, relatively speaking.
Well, we always kind of bring this up this time of year, because it always seems it slows down right about now for the holidays, like maybe mid or late October.
Yeah, things, well, with the exception of GTA 5, it does feel like things have kind of calmed a bit. There is, I guess, Call of Duty and... Isn't there? Oh yeah, Assassin's Creed and some other games on the really close horizon. So maybe other games are trying to just stay out of their way. You know, they don't want to just deal with competing with any of that. Just like they did with GTA, like not really anything major. Well, let's see. Was anything major released around GTA? I don't think
so. They released something like the people were getting $200,000 or $500,000 in their bank accounts.
I don't think. Maybe we didn't mention that last time, but because of the really shaky start of the online version of the game, or the online portion of the game, Rockstar was going to try to compensate everybody by giving them 500,000 like in-game dollars in the online, so that you know you could buy cars or houses or whatever the hell you want. I don't know if it's the best solution, considering that now everybody's walking around with a ton of money, whereas...
Isn't that, like, inflationary to do that?
Yeah, it's like...
And everybody's going to have it.
Before, you had more of an incentive to do missions, you know, steal from people, whatever, to get your money. But if you already start with a ton of money, I wonder if that's going to screw around with, like, what people are doing online. But it'll die down eventually once everyone's spent it all. But yeah, they did that because... for the first week, at least, it was really difficult for people to either connect at all, or they would have, like, shoddy connections, or, you know, a host of weird, like, error messages just involved with trying to connect to those servers. So, you know, once you got in, it usually sounds like it was okay, but it was just the initial connection that would be a problem for a lot of people. Because, you know, everybody's cramming those servers all at once, because as soon as you can, you know, you want to be one of the first people to try the online, right? You don't want to, you know, wait a week. What's the point of that? But yeah, now everything seems pretty smooth.
The amount of online fuck-ups this year seems to be up. I don't know if that's just something...
You know what's weird is that with
it's
all...
a good way to put it, online fuck-ups.
Yeah, with all the beta testing and stuff that a lot of games, especially MMOs, have been doing lately, they still really underestimate the initial swamping to a game. Like, I remember Star Wars Old Republic did that initially. Like, they tried to have a ton of servers or worlds or whatever, and that was still really packed. Because almost the first month or so is really everyone and their mom trying out the MMO, right?
Yeah.
Or the online game. And then that will always kind of trickle down as you get to... Well, okay, so GTA doesn't have a subscription, but MMOs mostly do. So most people will just totally hoard together on the service for their first month or two while you're still getting, like, a trial period, basically. But then right after that, it's like, see ya, and then get the hell out, and then you're left with, like, ghost towns because some companies don't know how to scale back down after that initial wave has kind of depleted.
Well, that seems like it'd be difficult for them because it's like a catch-22. Like, if you open up if you start an MMO and you don't have enough server space and people aren't going to be able to connect to the game, they're going to say, well, I don't want to fucking play this anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it sounds like a wonderful metaphor for the Wii, by the way.
Get me out
of the system.
Oh, we
got to have the system. Oh. Now we're just overstocked on the shit.
Poor Wii.
Oopsie daisy.
But some companies can kind of go with flow a little bit better. Like, I remember, at least for SWTOR, they did have the kind of ghost town scenario, but they were smart enough to, I think relatively quickly, they allowed for, like, free transfers to other servers. Mm. So you could, you know, find a server that was a little bit more packed and move. The problem I'm experiencing with, I've been playing Final Fantasy XIV, which is kind of a whole up-and-down experience, is a lot of servers, specific servers, are like really packed. And I think this week they just introduced server transfers. And for this first week, it's going to be free because later it'll be a paid service. But to try to compensate a lot of people that were kind of ripped apart from their friends and put on a different server due to size limits, they wanted to extend this free transfer. However, there seems like there's errors and problems up the yin yang with people trying to transfer to various servers. So that, I think Square, unfortunately, is a great example of a company who has no fucking idea how to handle
a lot of things.
Well, MMO side of things in particular.
I find that hard to believe after Final Fantasy XI.
Keep in mind, it was a
big success from what I remember.
Keep in mind, XI was, I mean, the hairy part of it, and when you're starting it, was quite a long time ago. So they're pretty firmly established now, and especially now that, you know, their population has diminished since it's been just a long time. But 14, I think they weren't expecting it to surge as much as it did because, you know, word of mouth had gotten around that they're like 2.0 of the game after the 1.0 was fucking awful. Like, what was it, like 2 years ago?
Was it that long?
It really was.
I remember you playing it like really early in the podcast.
Well,
I can't believe it was that long ago.
I was in the beta for 1.0 a long time ago. And, you know, I had played 11 for years, so I was like, oh, maybe it'll be like, you know, like 11 HD or something like that. And man, was I wrong, because that game was not, that was not a fun game at all. And I kind of knew at the time, like, this is going to be a dud. But they actually tried to keep it up for, I think, at least a couple months, and then they themselves admitted, you know, we fucked up. This is awful. This is not
a game. So I crap my pants.
Yeah. So they went through, I guess, the next couple of years and made this kind of 2.0 version, which is funny because it kind of references a lot of the story from the first version, which is kind of neat. It's a good way of kind of not totally forgetting, like, your roots, I guess.
Good way of forgetting you didn't totally fuck up.
Well, what's weird now is that I think in trying to compensate for what was making the game not fun before, they listened to too many people that are more like casual gamers. And so now, you know, like, it makes it a little too easy to acquire some things, and they make the grind from like level 1 to 50 or whatever, like, way too easy. And then all of a sudden you're pushed into end game stuff where it's like, whoa, like the ramp up to difficulty just hits you in the face real quick. So a lot of people now, after the little honeymoon period has passed where you've finished the main story cutscenes and all that stuff, they're left with this, like, kind of like looking over this cliff, like, what do I do now?
Well, see, what's, you know, when I first started playing WoW, it was like kind of the opposite thing where, like, leveling was a real bitch. Like, that was the biggest pain in the ass back in 2005, was to level a guy up from 1 to 60.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it finally got, you know, when you finally got up to 60, it's like, that's when you really reap the rewards. One of my friends used to say, the game doesn't start until you hit max level, because you have all raids and dungeons and shit like that. And I,
now here's,
you know, just looking like, even at WoW nowadays, it's like, you know, the grind from 1 to whatever fucking level they go to nowadays, 85, I think.
Yeah, something.
It's just, yeah, it seems like, and then, like, I hear there's no raids, or there aren't very good raids, not very challenging ones.
Well, what happened, from what I understand with WoW, and this definitely happened with 11, was that, you know, it was kind of a hardcore game for quite a while, when it was more, I guess, around the vanilla time. And then the more expansions came out, the more they kept tweaking and tweaking and tweaking. And I know for in 11's example, I stopped playing around, was it 2008 or 9? And that's right before they lifted the level 75 cap. And then when they were going to lift that cap, I'm like, no, I'm done. Because it took me that many years to acquire the gear for 75. I'm not going to put myself through all kinds of hell trying to get decent gear for like a level 99 or something.
Yeah.
But that's what happened with 11, where it was kind of a tough MMO for a long time. You had to also do major grinding of your classes. Like, it would take you a long time to get one class to 75. And when you did it, actually, you felt, like, really accomplished because you're like, fuck, yes, I got this thing. And then you they actually had a lot of expansions. So much like WoW, right? So it kept expanding the world out a little bit more. You have more story based off of the expansion, which is cool. And it made the world feel really fucking huge. And to this day, I actually have a lot of really fond memories of just even exploring the world in Final Fantasy XI.
That's a common thing on 4chan. Like, people will be talking about the old days of WoW, like back during Vanilla or even the first expansions. Like, dude, I look back. I wish I still had the screenshots. But, like, back then, it's like, you know, I took a picture when we first killed, like, that raid's boss, Molten Core's boss, like, the first really big raid for our guild. You know, I remember taking a picture. It's like, I was so proud of myself, you know? I remember taking a picture when I hit 60 because I was so proud of myself. And I remember taking a picture for BWL because I was so proud of myself. It's like, it doesn't seem like you get something like that anymore.
What I was going to say is, like, for 14, one of the mistakes they made was kind of the mistake they made towards the end of Final Fantasy XI's kind of life cycle, where I think they wanted to retain players, and they knew that, like, oh, God, all our game is a lot of grinding. Grinding in maybe different places, yeah, sure, but, like, still, you know, at the end of the day, you're grinding a level or grinding a boss over and over again. So they introduce, I think it's the Abyssia, I don't know how you pronounce it, expansion, where they made it much easier to XP. So it made you gain levels really fast, and people were, you know, saying, oh, I guess I'll do a couple more classes to the max level because it's so quick. As a little perspective, I was talking to my coworker who played 11 for longer than I did, and he was describing in the new zones, you could go from, I think he said, like, level 30 to level 50 or something in a couple hours. Whereas with the old school part of the game, that would take you, like, I don't know, a couple weeks or something. You know, like, I mean, depending on, like, how efficient you were in those the older zones.
Yeah.
And I was like, they're doing the same thing with 14. Like, a lot of people, even myself, like, I played a lot, but I didn't play, like, obsessively. I played, you know, a little bit every evening, but not, like, for hours and hours. And I was able to max out one of the classes within, well, what is that high-pitched noise?
This is my cat, probably.
I was able to max out one of my, my first main class, like, really fast. And I was like, wait, I feel like I shouldn't have already done it within, like, the first month of the game. It seems a little quick. And then while you're doing your first class, you're also experiencing, you know, the main story, because that kind of coincides with you leveling up and visiting these new places. So at that time, it's okay because you're getting story content. So you're like, all right, I'm seeing what this world's about and all these different characters and fighting battles. It's cool. And then once you finish what at least currently is the end of their story so far, everything feels like, I don't know what I'm doing now. Like, okay, so you have very minor quests within, like, the class-specific quests where it's like, I want to be a paladin. So I'll have, like, a really, really simple quest every 5 levels where I get, like, a new ability or a tiny bit of story or something like that. But it's very minimal. And I was like, this is kind of surprising that it, when you think about it, aside from the main story content, there's really not much there. And so people got to endgame really fast.
I think that's the problem with MMOs nowadays. It's like, it seems I haven't played WoW since the 2 or so expansions ago, and it's just, it seems what I hear from people, you know, just online and people that I trust is like, excuse me, is that it just seems so, like, empty, you know, for another word, is, you know, for lack of a better word, it's just like the world seems empty.
Well, you know,
it just seems like there isn't that much material, you know, it's just grinding, like you said.
It's kind of two parts to that. So that's definitely one of the cases, because it's like, the world's, you know, when you start out a game, especially an MMO, the world's not big enough yet. Because you know that it's going to be expansions and it's going to be all this stuff. And eventually, like 11 had so many expansions. Eventually, it's a huge world and you have a lot of options and places to go. But at the start, it's pretty small. But not only that, but you get, it feels empty in terms of, like, the social aspect. Like, yes, technically, there's tons of people around you, and they are all grinding fates, which are these kind of movable missions that everybody can join in on. It's not specific to one party, like an event. And, yeah, so technically everyone's around. But they've introduced this system where, I guess, they heard enough people complain in 11 that, you know, I spent hours yelling, looking for party, and, you know, to try to get one party, and then you XP, and then somebody disconnects, and you're like, oh, fuck, now you're back to square one. So they created this thing called the Duty Finder, where you it can automate, like you say, okay, I'm a DPS class, and I want to be in this specific dungeon. And so it'll randomly mix you up with several other classes, like a tank, a healer, and another DPS from any server, not just your own. And usually it's, it can be kind of fast, but it's lately it's been kind of slow. But the shitty thing about that is, since you're not all necessarily from the same server, it's not like you can like friend each other afterwards. Like if you have a good experience, you just kind of all go poof back to where to the ether, you know, back to wherever you came from. Yeah. And this whole thing where you're not forced to make connections and make ties and make like link shells.
Oh yeah, that's exactly when the same on WoW.
When you're not exactly forced to do what you used to do, like in 11, because you had to spend so much time doing looking for party or whatever. Whether you like it or not, often you'd end up kind of bonding with the people you meet.
Exactly what happened was, like, you know, and WoW, when they added cross-realm sort of cross-server raiding or, you know, dungeon finding, whatever you want to call it, you know, it's just like you had less, you know, you're never going to see these people again. You can see when people in your party weren't going to be, you know, when they weren't on your server, it'd have their server name after their name, you know right. what I mean? And so you would know that, you know, oh, I can fuck around with these people because, you know, they're not going to affect. Yeah, I'm not going to see them again. They're not going to affect my, you know, server economy and all that sort of stuff like that. And, you know, it just, it causes people to act like assholes. It really does. It causes people to act self-centered. You know, you have a lot of loot ninjing going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I understand that they want to make it easier or, have, you know, the people, the group of people you play with be more robust, but at the same time, it kills the community. It's like, you know, if it's like the difference between being in a little town and going to New York City. It's like, you know everybody in your little town, but when you go to New York City, it's like, well, there's 8 million people and, you know, there's you 8 million actually, stories yeah, here. Yeah, I don't
end
know
up being as
on.
Close to like,
yeah, exactly.
People. Yeah, it's a very different kind of approach, and a lot of the people, I didn't realize this, but a lot of people, at least right now in 14, seem to be people that had at least tried or kind of played 11 at some point. So you get a lot of people kind of like me that are weirdly nostalgic all of a sudden for how awful actually 11 was in terms of like the whole grind, but how because of the grind you end up with kind of better memories because you were kind of forced in certain areas for longer. Like it's I wouldn't say it's like a Stockholm syndrome, but I'm.
Yeah.
it's like being in one place and actually being forced to know your job better, because you know, the grind from 1 to 50 in 14 is so quick and so easy. You could be really shitty at your job or your class, and it's not too much of a negative mark against you. But right when you hit end game. And you're fighting tougher versions of the bosses and completely, you know, like end game type battles, you can get your ass handed to you because you didn't learn your class well enough. But in 11, and I'm sure like it is in WoW, because you're doing so much grinding and being stuck with that job for so long, most of the time, I mean, there's still bad players, of course, but most of the time, you end up being a lot better at whatever that class is because you have so much more time with it and you experience it better. Because I'm seeing a lot of people in 14 that, like, for example, they'll just spam. Like, if you're a DPS, they'll just spam on an enemy when the tank is initially trying to build hate at the beginning of a battle. So I'm like, I know to lay off because I played a thief in 11 where a thief is.
I never played a tank. I know not to do that.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing because people are impatient. And they do these things that almost kind of encourage impatience because they have caps. Okay, so end game, once you're at 50, since you can't get higher, you want to end up getting gear and weapons that are higher level than you. It's called an I level, like the letter I.
I know.
Yeah,
it's the same thing in WoW.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a better level than you, and then so that's a lot of end game stuff. And some of those things you can get from doing dungeons that drop these, they're called tome stones, not tombstones. And there's two types. There's a mythology tombstone, which is harder to get. There's less of it. And then there's the philosophy tombstone, which is like more abundant. Now, there's no limit on the philosophy tombstone. You can grind a dungeon over and over again and get that as much as you want. But the mythology one has a cap of 300 of those a week. So what happens is a lot of these experiences boil down to you just grinding the same dungeon over and over and over again to get the maximum number for that week, and then kind of left going like, what do I do now?
It sounds exactly like everything I've gone through.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's the same exact thing that I've gone through, just in different words. You know, it's just like, you know, whether it be daily quests or, you know, grinding for reputation or whatever, however it may go.
But the other thing, too, is, like, the grinding sucks, granted, but it probably wouldn't be as annoying to people if there were just more options. Like, that's one thing I noticed. Like, I actually wish they had spent maybe an extra year on this game, because it feels like there just isn't enough, like, actual content. Like, or at least have, if you're going to have people grind dungeons, have more types of dungeons to grind, or more story things at the end. Like,
but see, they usually sacrifice that for, you know, appealing to casuals. You know, appealing to casual fans.
I guess. Like, I would consider, because it's not nearly as difficult compared to 11, I would consider SWTOR like a casual MMO for sure. But
well, all of them are now. Like, WoW is not nearly the monster that you, I mean, it's...
Right, but I'm saying, like, there's so much more content, though, like, when they launched. Because they were, as many...
Well, that's like saying that when you... It's like if somebody were to get into movies nowadays, you know, if, like, somebody had never watched a movie now, it's like, well, you have to catch up on all this stuff, like Citizen Kane and Casablanca and you know. And then it's like when they finally get deep into the field, it's like, well, you know, what else is there to do? You know what I mean?
No, but
it's,
I mean, like, they should have had at least more at the start, because it actually feels like they went with the easy route. Like, okay, we have a main story, and then we're assuming people are going to, like, spend their time on it, which they didn't. And then...
they never do.
Right, but if you compare, like, because I was at the beta and the start of both of these games, for SWTOR, it seems like they don't have that much content at first.
Mm.
But you realize... each one of those classes has a unique story. So it's actually kind of like, how many classes are there? Like 8 or 9 or something?
In Final Fantasy?
No. Old Republic. Because there's like Bounty Hunter. I have no idea. Bounty Hunter, the Sith things, and, you know, Scoundrel, all this bullshit. So each one of those is basically its own main story. And it could take you quite a while to get from like 1 to 50
with
each one of those classes. So I was trying to impress upon a lot of people that were trying to White Knight Final Fantasy XIV. I'm like, no, look at this other game. This still had a shitload of problems, but at launch, it had way more longevity in terms of its content, because it's like, okay, did I max out Bounty Hunter? No, there's a ton of other classes with totally different cutscenes that are interactive, by the way, to go through. Because like Final Fantasy actually starts feeling really dated when you realize... you know, 11 happened so many years ago, along with WoW. When you have a quest, it's very linear. You feel, you know, okay, go through the motions. That's the end of the cutscene. That's it.
Yeah. Well, apparently it's not like that anymore with WoW, but like I said,
14 it is. So it's like you watch it.
So the Square hasn't learned anything, which is nothing new as far as I'm concerned, you know. But I don't know. Blizzard's a different case, I think. It's just, you know, it's a matter of being the largest Western MMO for... since 2004 or 2005, I'd say, you know, since Galaxy died, at least. But I mean, they've had barely no competition. Every piece of competition they've had appear since then has just been a miserable failure, whether it be, you know, Warhammer, whether it be Galaxy. The only one who's really stood out has been Eve, you know, and it's because it's like a completely different animal.
I'm not sure.
Funny about Eve is, like, you know, I've tried about 2 times to play that. I really like it. Like, I love the concept. It's like, I read stories about these, like, how freewheeling it is, how laissez-faire, how hands-off the development team is.
Yeah.
It seems really fucking cool, but it's like, I can't do it.
See, that game really punishes you for not maybe being there from the ground, like, the beginning. Because if you start it now, it feels like you're always going to be at a disadvantage compared to, like, the old-timers that have the huge ships and the tons of money and do the really risky, like... attacks and other big people. I'm always impressed on, you're right about the hands-off. Like, I think out of all the MMOs out there, that's the only one I can think of, at least readily, where they're like, you know what? This guy figured out how to exploit something or make this go to his advantage or whatever. It's almost like a Andrew Ryan kind of thing. Like, good for him.
It Let's is. See it's how totally laissez-faire, yeah.
Yeah. Like those guys that figured out how to totally like ransack one of the biggest ships and like takes everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God. And it's kind of real because some people put like real money into this stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they're actually like losing money when somebody attacks them. But on the other hand, Square is notorious for being really ruthless on anybody who finds an exploit in their game. Like, if you find an exploit in their game and you totally screw around with it and you really profit off
of it, you're getting banned.
Yeah, you get banned. On the off chance, a couple of them, for some reason, they get left. They're left untouched. Most of them do get like some kind of rollback or some kind of repercussion. But it's like, dude, it's your own fault. You left this hole in your game. Yep. Just let them get whatever it is, and then
you need better QA.
Yeah,
you need better QA.
They actually have a major. This is the last thing I'll say for 14, but it seems like a major black mark against them right now. There's apparently some major issues with lag in certain parts of their instances. So there's a hard mode versions of these primal fights, like you fight Ifrit and Titan, and you know the traditional monsters. And they do these moves that are very time sensitive and cover a certain range on the ground. Like they'll make a big circle on the ground that you can see, and you need to run out of that circle before you get squashed.
Yeah.
And due to the very inconsistent lag, a fight like that is a nightmare because it'll look like you cleared the circle, but you still get hit by the effect.
Yeah, are the servers in Japan? Or they have North American ones.
No, they have North American ones, but some people are saying this might be a mixture of client and server side issues because of the program. So, and they're kind of acknowledging this, but they're kind of not. But this is a major issue considering that a lot of the end game bosses.
You are breaking your dungeon, you know, your dungeon crawling. Like, why would you do that?
Like, the easy level 1 to 50 stuff, who cares? But a lot of their end game bosses utilize this shit. So it's like.
Yeah.
That's why people are getting mad. They're like, first of all, there's not much to do except grind these endgame, these just handful of endgame things to do. And then you run into those lag problems, which you never know if you're going to have it or not, which is always amazing. And then they have a specific endgame dungeon, which is called the Binding Coil of Bahamut. Right now, you can't finish the last coil of it. There's five turns, basically. And then each time you finish a turn, it kind of does like a save. So it remembers that you did turn one, turn two. So turn five is the last one. And it's bugged right now. He'll do, the monster in that thing will do a move that instantly kills almost everybody. And you can't. It's a twister. So it's kind of like a Hadouken, I guess. So you'll get hit if you get hit by the twister, because 4 of the 6 people will.
Is it like an instance-wide damage thing or what?
So like, what's annoying is you can't use. You know, usually you could use a move that like reduces damage on you, but it's such a shitty move. It doesn't actually remove damage because it just instantly kills you. So any damage reduction moves don't work. So right now. People are getting pissed off because Square at first was saying like, oh, the Binding Coil is pretty difficult for end game users. We've had, you know, less than 100 people make it through.
Let me translate this. We do not know how to program a boss fight, please.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying, well, of course you can brag that not many people have been able to finish it because it's not, you can't finish it. Like, you literally can't finish it right now. Like, some people,
we made a bad boss fight.
Yeah, there's like a conspiracy right now. Like, maybe they purposely made it so difficult so they could claim that, like, oh, wow, you know, we have a challenging end game. No, not really.
No.
Anyway,
no, having undefeatable.
Having a one-hit KO on an MMO boss is so lame.
It's really not. Yeah. I mean, there should always be a way to recover from, like, even a lot of the most difficult, well, with the exception of, I guess, Absolute Virtue and some of, like, the really difficult Final Fantasy XI bosses, they usually give you, like, some kind of way to come back. Like, somebody could raise you, you could try it again, whatever. It's not always over. But there's a lot of instances in these endgame things for 14 where if one guy goes down, you're pretty much all going to wipe because it's going to...
That's what happens when your tank dies.
Yeah.
That's enough Final Fantasy, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. We got rattling again. We started prattling on about MMOs and poor Knox feels left.
Well, I didn't really get a chance to really talk about. I meant. What?
It's no, because it's like we didn't have a chance to talk about. It. It's like it's been a half hour already.
No. I meant last time. Like I had mentioned.
Oh yeah. We did. To be fair, we did mention about talking.
In a previous episode, I said we were gonna
talk. I thought you meant this episode. I'm like, what?
Oh no, we talked about it a lot.
Sufficient time.
We pretty much said everything I wanted to say from last time. So anyway,
that podcast would have been like 2 hours long.
Yeah. Well, if there was enough to talk about in 14, it would have been, but. So there's a couple cool non-Final Fantasy related things to talk about.
Amazing.
So The Wolf Among Us, which is Telltale's new adventure game, the first episode has come out. It's getting pretty good reviews so far. It seems like the story and the feel is on par with Walking Dead. So that's a good sign. It's a different... have you guys ever read the Fables comics?
Is this the one you were talking about this a couple months ago? I think this was a comic, right?
Yeah. So it's either I think is it DC or Vertigo? I can't remember. So there's a comic series called Fables, and it's interesting. Yeah. It kind of feels like Once Upon a Time ripped this off for their show. So
is this the thing where they're supposed to be set in modern times?
It's in New York or New Jersey or something.
Yeah.
Where there's a section in that city called Fable Town, which regular people can't see or something. Where a lot of fairy tale characters have to live, like they've been, I don't know if they've been teleported out of their fairy tale worlds or something happened. Yeah. Like they did some mass exodus and they had to leave and live in like the real world or whatever.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is according to the lore in that series, in the real world, everybody does know about these fable characters because, you know, it's like Snow White or something. Like everybody knows Snow White. And it actually kind of gives them a power. So the Fables characters are all like immortal because they're fables. And the better known or the more popular or well-loved a fable is, the more kind of invincible they are. So like if somebody attacks Snow White, for example, she'll be injured or whatever, but she'll recover because like it's very difficult to kill a fairy tale that's really popular. So that's kind of an interesting slant. I thought they had, instead of them just being like, you know, flesh and blood people, they also have kind of like a mystical fantasy element to them in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the Telltale game, I guess, is from the point of view of the Big Bad Wolf, whose name is Bigby. And he's a humanoid wolf, at least in the game, although I thought I remember him having like a wolf form in the comics or something. And he's like a detective. So, and I think he's also like the sheriff of that Fable Town. So he's trying to explore all these mysterious happenings in Fable Town. I haven't had a chance to play it, but I want to play it this weekend.
And, it sounds almost noirish.
It is. The approach.
That's kind of an interesting take on it then.
Yeah. That's one comment I was seeing.
Yeah.
Different from Walking Dead is that it is taking this more noir kind of stance on a lot
It seems almost LA noirish that they're going to have, like, you know, it's more like a more restrictive LA noir in terms of its exploration. You know, like you just kind of wander around an area instead of a whole city, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
Looking for clues.
Yeah. And there is more action, apparently, compared to Walking Dead. Because Walking Dead really just had very small bits of action sequences.
Yeah.
This one has I don't know how much more, but it's noticeably more, so maybe it feels more lively.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really curious about playing it. Supposedly, you know, voice acting's good, story's good. You may get more out of it if you've read the comics, which is what one of the Polygon reviewers was saying. Because
I imagine that they'll see an upsurge in popularity on account of the game being made.
I hope so. I thought the comics were really interesting. It's been a couple years since I read them, but I liked them when I read them.
Are they newer comics? I never heard of them before you mentioned them the first time we talked about this.
Yeah, I believe the series is probably still ongoing.
2002 it started.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, but it's, you know, relative. It's not like I was thinking, like, are we talking like V for Vendetta old or?
Oh, no, no, not that old. What's interesting, though, is even though a lot of them are very famous fable characters, I believe they've killed off some pretty major fairy tale characters.
Well, they're not very invincible now, are they?
Well, that's the thing. It's like they're not impervious like the way that, I don't know, Superman or something is, but they're more resilient depending on how popular they are. But that doesn't mean that they can't be killed. It just means that it's harder to kill them, I guess. But yeah, so I recommend everyone try it out. I think it's only like $5, right? It's something really inexpensive.
Telltale, it's always kind of a less than normal price.
Well,
less
expensive? Because they are doing episodic. So maybe you know, when you multiply that out, I'm not sure how many episodes are going to be in the full game. So maybe it's more reasonable when you think about, like, oh, if it's, like, 6 episodes or something.
Yeah.
But pretty cool. So there's that. Oh, the other news this week that kind of freaked people out, but I guess it's mostly going to be okay, is anyone who pre-ordered a PS4 bundle that had Watch Dogs in it, specifically from GameStop or Amazon, if you heard, Watch Dogs has been pushed back to spring of 2014. So,
oh, no.
Yeah. It's not going to be like a launch.
Roro.
Yeah. But they've insisted that, you know, people will still get the PS4s. They just won't get the game until, you know, whenever it actually comes out.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Well, it's better than like, sure. Like, oh, you'll get your PS4 when Watch Dogs comes out.
You got to wait until you get another 4.
You won't
eat
it.
Yeah. Eat that cake.
Yeah, but
I just read that they aren't going to have Journey on PS4. It's like, why should I even get one?
Oh, God. I'm sure they'll have like
they're going to have Flower. They're going to have Flower. They're going to have Flow.
But don't stop Journey? Believing such a good song.
Yeah.
God, no. That wrong Journey.
I know.
There was a rumor. I don't know if this is actually.
Is done.
I don't know if this was substantiated or not, but there was a rumor that the pushback of Watch Dogs might be because of GTA's online component.
Wait, seriously?
Well, I was talking to some people about this because they may have been observing like what GTA 5 does, maybe not just in the online, but just like in its open worldness. And maybe they were like, we need to add some stuff to ours. So I can't find it, but they made a vague sort of comment like, you know, we're adding more detail, more content, that blah, blah, blah. You know, basically, we want extra time so we can make the game better, which, you know, regardless of the reason, I don't mind. If you want to take extra time for a game, by all means, be my guest. I would much prefer you take the extra time on a game than rush the damn thing out the door.
Mm. Yeah, just as long as it's fuck-up proof, I think.
See, yeah, he's right. It's like, you know, a lot of these companies like take a game that maybe is good, and then they, you know, the longer you delay it, it's like the more people
get antsy.
I think that at once it makes them have their expectations be higher, but then at the same time, like the faults that are there are magnified almost. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that when you do
this in X amount of time,
yeah, it's like you know when you release a game like that, it's like, well, you delayed this. Why is X problem here? Why is Y problem here?
That's like what happened with Mass Effect 3, because like it was supposed to come out in that fall of 2012? Yeah. I can't remember.
But the story still would have sucked.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it still felt like they were still cutting some stuff, even though they pushed it back like 3 or 4 months. It's like
they cut the ending.
Yeah,
they cut the endings.
Speaking of Mass Effect 3,
here we go.
It's going to be like
put on your seatbelts, everybody. We're going to be for the 2 ride.
Sentences. And that's it. So they still haven't revealed very much about 4 Mass Effect. Uh-huh. I don't know why they insist they need to make fucking Mass Effect 4.
That's sentence 1.
Right, but they are going
to make the sentence worth it.
Oh, shut up. they did say that Mass Effect 4 will have nothing to do with Commander Shepard. So that still could be past the future.
So are we going to have a game about Rex or Garrus?
No. Well, it sounds like they're trying to totally distance us from anything connected to Shepard. So I would assume that also includes, you know, teammates or whatever. Because wouldn't that be a little weird?
It'd be cool to see a game like before Rex was part of Shepard's team. That'd be great. You have a game where you're that bodyguard at the bar.
You got too excited right there.
It'd be really cool because I think Rex was really underrated. Like, they cut him out after the first game.
Well, he is, but
They had that other Krogan.
Yeah.
Was
never as cool. Oh, Grunt? Grunt was awesome.
Yeah, fucking... Well, Grunt was cool, but you didn't have Rex Shepard.
Yeah.
Shepard Rex. Yeah.
But the issue people have is if you put anything... We mentioned this. If you put anything before Mass Effect, the first Mass Effect trilogy, it's like, well, you know what's going to happen. So doesn't that kind of already taint whatever the prequel's going to be? It'd almost be better if it was like, meanwhile... In a fucking different universe, all this stuff is happening.
Meanwhile, in a different universe, BioShock Infinite.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. What if they had some weird
crossover? Booker DeWitt flies amongst the stars.
Yeah. Booker DeWitt takes down a Reaper or something. But yeah, anyway, so that's what I want to say. So they've indicated no Shepard ties. They're all separate, which I still don't care about that game. So whatever. Yeah, okay, here's a game that I didn't know very much about, but has kind of blipped on everybody's radar now that the Kickstarter is over, ironically. They call it a first-person post-disaster survival simulation game called The Long Dark. Uh-huh. So, it's made by this place called Hinterland Studios. They had a Kickstarter campaign, which they successfully passed. They only were looking for $200,000. But it made $256,000, which is good. I'm not sure. You can still donate afterwards, right?
You can. They call it like a stretch goal, and they usually... I don't know what they do with it, but...
So maybe now that, you know, they're getting more attention, maybe people donate, like, after the fact. I'm not sure. Yeah. Might not.
I don't know. So, they just pocket that money? That's curious. Anyway, go on.
Yes, they do. So they're in Canada, though. So it looks like a really interesting, stylized kind of first-person game. A lot of, you know, like the shadows are like really black. Like it's not like a realistic, like a Skyrim kind of thing. And, they got more notice particularly because, they just announced some of the voice cast, and in particular, it's going to be David Hayter.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, I know. Right. So if you've been living under a rock, David Hayter is the voice of Solid Snake amongst various other things. Well, he was the voice of Snake. I guess now they've replaced him with Kiefer Sutherland, but...
Whoa, hold on. Wait a second. I'm looking at his voice acting. Hold on. He played Lupin in the Castle of Cagliostro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why didn't anybody tell me this?
I didn't...
I'm a lot more excited now. Anyway. Dude, you have somebody acting in a Miyazaki movie. It makes me excited.
That's a pretty good movie. So he's got ties to it. They haven't said what kind of character. Like, it might not necessarily be, like, the main character. It could be, you know, just a side character or something. But it's worth checking out. The visuals look pretty interesting. They're kind of, it sounds kind of creepy and mysterious. Like they're saying every location has the potential to hold life-saving supplies or grave danger.
Ooh.
in the post-digital world of the Long Dark, a mysterious aurora flashes across the sky, destroying humanity's technological might in an instant. All the technology.
So it's basically an EMP,
or an actual one, I guess. All the technology we take for granted, but depend on for our daily existence, suddenly gone. What happens in a world without technology? How do we communicate? Stay warm. Travel.
Isn't there just a really shitty show?
Yeah, I was gonna say this sounds like the NBC show Revolution. Because didn't they lose electricity and everyone's like, we can't survive.
What are we gonna do?
We should start using fucking crossbows because guns run on electricity.
But this almost looks like it's like a quasi Walking Dead. Well, I mean, not like cartoony like that, but like a more simplified, stylized world.
Yeah.
They're showing a lot of really nice, like pretty snowy forests and cabins and things. So it's kind of separated from, you know, it's not urban life. It looks like, you know, you're wandering through a... kind of a winter town or something.
Yeah.
So visually it could look pretty cool. I'm not sure if there's going to be like zombies or something. It might just be, you know, people versus people, you know, like that's kind of the theme.
Kind of like a winter road warrior kind of thing.
It could, or like The Road.
That might be cool.
I could buy into that.
Yeah, I could buy that for real. I'd buy that for $1.
So, so right now it's like a stylized The Road maybe. I'm sure now that they've kind of appeared more in people's radars, maybe we'll find out more info about, you know, what the game is really going to be like.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Well, here's a reason to dislike David Hayter. He co-wrote Watchmen. Ooh, ouch. His,
you know what?
His writing career is really uneven.
You know what, though?
He was part of the first two X-Men movies, which were pretty good.
He was actually in the first one.
Yeah.
He was that. He was okay. If you remember the movie,
let's see here.
So I can
okay. X-Men Museum Cop.
Shut up for a second. Okay. He was the cop that.
Damn.
I'm trying to describe it. He's
it says Museum Cop. I'm looking X-Men 2000 All right. Museum Cop. That's his role.
I was gonna tell you where in the movie that happened, but you can okay. just go see the.
Is it like a. Oh, fuck. Is it like the guy from Evil Dead showing up in all the Spider-Man movies? Because otherwise I don't
care. Sam Raimi?
Yeah. No, not Sam Raimi.
No, Bruce Campbell.
I know. His name was... I know. That's why I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, Bruce he Campbellin. Also made... Campbellin? Did you say Bruce Campbellin?
No, I said Bruce Campbell.
Campbell.
No!
What?
What? What is about? Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, no.
Bruce Campbell. Like, yeah, I forgot his name. I forgot it. I'm sorry.
Bruce Campbellin.
No,
you
I
get
didn't.
His name right.
Oh my God.
Anyway, okay.
You know what else David Hayter did? Howl's Moving Castle, additional voices. Ooh, that's good.
I don't even know what the hell that was. Like the
Howl's Moving Castle?
No, the fucking the additional voices, because it could have been so many things.
I know it's the joke. Get out of here. Let's go. Come on. What's next?
Anyway,
it's falling apart.
So, for whatever reason, I don't know. I guess people technically played Booger Man, but. I mean, I didn't realize.
I only technically played it back.
Well,
when
I mean,
kid.
Like, whether you played it, whether you actually enjoyed it, you know, is another thing.
By,
but,
by pure definition, I played Booger Man.
Yeah. Anyway, so they're trying to reboot it, but I guess they're also doing a Kickstarter. Everything's Kickstarters.
Kickstarter.
They're doing a Kickstarter to try to reboot Booger Man for a PS4, PS Vita, and the Wii. Actually, I guess they're going to do, like, computer versions as well. I don't think it's going to be anything, like, brand new. It seems like they're actually just going to do, like, a cleaned-up, like, updated version of the original. Kind of like the Earthworm Jim stuff. Because didn't they do that a while back? They did, like, an HD version?
Yeah, they did it, like, 2010 or something like that?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the thing.
I don't really understand this fascination with updates of old games like
that. Well, because it's easy. Like they also did that with they got the funding, I believe, for that Leisure Suit Larry reboot, where I think it's really just the first Leisure Suit Larry, but made like totally redone. You know, because it's the most pixelated one, the one where it actually still had text based, you know, adventure gaming. So if you like Booger Man. Maybe you
good
should,
news for all I you guess. Booger Man
you
fans.
Should help reboot it.
Act fast.
Ugh. But yeah.
When was the last time they made a game out of that? Oof.
But
a Booger Man, a pick and flick adventure.
Well, you remember back in the 90s, they did a lot of like unusual.
Fucking 1994.
Yeah, they did a lot of unusual kind of action games. They had like.
Oh, well, yeah.
They had Cool Spot. I mean, like, they had.
That game was so good.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Like, it's very random. Like, as long as you could jump and shoot sometimes, like, okay, we'll make a game of that.
So. That game had some really good music. Cool Spot.
I don't really remember the music from it. Well, I
mean, the music was really good.
It was that era, though. Like, every soundtrack from that era was pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. David Hayter played Lupin. Who the rest
you're really fixated on that part for some reason.
No, I'm looking it up because like no, but I thought that Disney dubbed this again. Like no, but they didn't. It's just animes.
No.
Animes. Who? Manga Entertainment. I don't know any of these people. Anyway, okay, sorry.
So I guess there's other news bits, but they're not really grabbing me. Oh, Pokemon XY came out.
Yeah, it's nice. Let's keep
moving.
So if you
like Pokemon, now I think it's something crazy. Like it's 780 something Pokemon now.
Jesus, man.
It's the numbers.
Sweet. First of all, Jesus.
Remember when it was just 151?
Now you see, I have a buddy at work who's really into Pokemon even nowadays, and he gets so mad when people act like there should only be 151. He's like, I don't understand why these people have to act like that. You know, there's a bunch of casuals and it, you know.
You know the there is a. There is a comforting thing about having like a number that you actually could remember all the names. Like, remember when there was like a song for them all? But actually,
it was poker rap, dude.
Yeah, the poker. Fucking poker. Can you imagine if you try to do a poker rap now? How long it would take to go through all the fucking existing Pokemon?
Oh my god!
It would make your mouth hurt afterwards. This is too much.
The late '90s were weird.
Yeah,
there's a rap for a Pokemon.
Well, the late 90s were fucking.
Man, I want to have Jizza make a poker rap. Dude, have you thought about that?
He could, I guess.
No, I haven't. He could
totally do it.
Oh, yeah. He made
Electro,
labels.
Diglett, Nidoran, Mankey, Venusaur, Rattata, Fearow, Pidgey, Seeking, Jolteon, Dragonite.
No, Gansu. We're not.
Stop.
Yeah, it's funny how, like, despite how many games they've had, they haven't really strayed from that formula too much. Like, it's still the same, like, kind of screen format where it's like you got the one versus the other, and then you're running around. I guess now it's in 3D, right? So it's a little bit.
I think that this one has a lot less 3D. Yeah. I mean, I think that Nintendo's trying to emphasize the 2DS quite a bit because the 3DS was so fucking expensive.
No, but I don't mean, like, 3D. I mean, like, it's actually, like, polygons.
Well, that was the thing is, like, I saw screenshots of the game. It didn't look half bad. You know, usually, right.
But
even when I played HeartGold when it came out again, which was only a couple of years ago, it still looked like shit, you know, even on the DS. But now I saw these pictures, and it didn't look that bad.
That's the thing. Why did it take that long?
Because it's Nintendo. It's Nintendo. They're always behind the curve on graphics. They always are. Even in handhelds, and they pretty much had a handheld.
Their fan base is rooted in tradition, so yeah, exactly. Why should they try to advance sooner than they have to?
Well,
Knox is a lot better than Microcast.
Eventually, they had to advance it a little bit because otherwise, you get a waning fan base because it's like, well, these are all just the same.
They had to advance it, so they did.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's
only by necessity.
I don't know. I guess there's female and male genders and stuff too, right? Like. They added that whole.
They've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, that was in the blue and red.
But could you actually?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't in first gen. It was definitely in second gen.
No.
Are you sure? Because there was the
absolutely. I'm absolutely sure.
There was that one creature that was.
Okay, so in the first.
It was only Nidoran had.
Yeah, Nidoran. That's what
there's Nidoran Nidoqueen or whatever Nidorino.
Well, Nidoran male and Nidoran. Female. There's Nidorino and Nidorina. Yeah.
Back in the day, those were the only ones that had female and male versions. Yeah. And then
now all of them do.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. The only reason I know that is because that was the only one I ever played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. I only played first and fourth gen. I played a little bit of second gen, so I mean, I'm not afraid to.
Have a Pokemon expert here.
Yeah, we don't. But I mean, you know. Well, we don't. I mean, it's the game. The game. The game is very different, but the game is also very much the same. I think you know, it's so, man, I don't know how to explain it. But it's like you know, seeing my buddy talk about it. You know, my buddy at work talk about this all the time. It's like, man, he takes it real fucking seriously. He takes it really fucking seriously, and it's almost kind of amazing. It's like I'm not like laughing at him or anything, but it's like really amazing, like how deeply. No, I am. I'm not laughing at him. It's like how deeply. People can get into games like that. Like, it's almost how I used to be about WoW way back in the day, you know?
To be fair, considering how excited you get about some things, everybody has their own games that they get very worked up.
I can go on a pretty lengthy first-person shooter rant if the opportunity presents itself. Absolutely.
Like Nox has Doom, my buddy has Pokemon. I don't have a game like that anymore. It's almost kind of disappointing.
I would say BioShock is your game because you've gone at length about...
You could probably go on for a while about, you know, online gaming.
Well, yeah, I guess I could.
Yeah,
maybe like a half hour or so.
Itchy goes on about Mass Effect.
I've even noticed I'm starting to taper off on that. Like you can only do that for so long before you just get burnt out. Until somebody tries to start.
You still post about it on Tumblr though. I still see you post them.
I haven't actually done it as much lately. When you have a bunch of fandoms you like to visit, it starts kind of diluting it a little bit. Like I've been watching more TV shows than I have in the past. Like they've this is not necessarily game related, but like, have you noticed TV shows have been trying to branch out more and do like more kind of almost like fantasy, like sci-fi type things now?
Well, it's kind of lame.
Well, I appreciate the difference.
By that same token, TV shows have massively improved over what they used to be.
At least it's not all trying to be like sitcom, like office sitcom kind of things. Although there's still a bunch of those.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm sick of office sitcoms, but on the other hand, I mean, this is just personal preference for me. I've never been that much of a fantasy fan to begin with.
Well, the other thing, too, is there's different kinds of fantasy available. So, like, if I think about the stuff I have been watching, so you get Once Upon a Time, which is totally guilty pleasure stuff, because it's like, oh, fantasy characters, kind of so-so acting. Some of the plots are, like, really out there. And then I just started watching Sleepy Hollow, which at first I was like, what the hell is this show? Because the concept was weird, having Ichabod Crane, like, be brought to life like 200 years later.
Yeah.
Like, and then like, oh, there is a headless horseman and all this other stuff. But it's actually kind of fun. It's another sort of guilty pleasure show. Then you get Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is a different kind of fantasy because it's the whole, you know, comic book style stuff. It's kind of the weak...
Talk about things I am burnt out on.
Well, holy, that's the thing. Shit. Like, that's the weaker element because it feels like whoever's writing for that particular show is like some kind of like a watered down Joss Whedon. Like, I can tell they're going for that Joss Whedon style, like wannabe Firefly or wannabe you know, even Avengers kind of style writing, but it doesn't really hit the mark often enough.
That's very easy to envision, yeah.
Yeah, for that show. I'm still giving it a shot though, because I like Coulson. Coulson is cool. Even though a bunch of the like kiddie characters in there I get really annoyed at. And then
John Cena.
Huh?
John Cena.
A John Cena character that appeals strictly to kids and anyone who doesn't have a brain totally, realizes what a jackass he is. Yeah. Sorry.
Anyway,
no, I get it.
I did it again.
I understand. You know that same guy at work who likes Pokemon? He likes wrestling too, and he always is bitching
How
about John Cena.
How old is this guy?
He's 23 or 24. Don't act like that, Torm. He's cool.
I like wrestling.
Yeah, I like wrestling. Wrestling's hilarious, and I think Pokemon could be cool if I was, you know. I don't know. It's like I'm not into that anymore, but I can understand why somebody
would be. We're doing a video game podcast. How old are we?
Yeah, like, what the fuck? Saiyan Slash, Hitmonlee, Psyduck, Arcanine, Eevee,
oh god, Zepito, okay. Kabuto, I think that's good.
Right, motherfucking boy.
I think, yeah.
You think we looked on a Bulbasaur and boy.
All right.
When a motherfucker steps out his place, then gets slapped in his motherfucking face.
Okay. All right. That's our show for this week. Mixing crazy rap with Pokemon. That's just kind of stuff. Anyway, if you're listening and you are a big Poke fan, you can always email us and say, like, why you've stuck. Actually, I'm really curious. Why have people stuck with that franchise? What do they find really appealing about it after all these years of playing? Send us an email. nameofgamepodcast@gmail.com. Name of game. I don't want it to sound like name a game. nameofgamepodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email, or you can tweet us at In the Name of Game, or post on our Facebook group, which is just In the Name of Game. Tell us why you like Pokemon, or why you still like Pokemon, more accurately. So there's a lot of ways to listen to our show. We got our website, which is inthenameofgame.com. We also are on iTunes, so you could subscribe to us there just to listen to our great episodes. But yeah, I think that's about it. There's a couple interesting games on the horizon. I don't know if I'm on the fence about Assassin's Creed 4, because Assassin's Creed 3 really pissed me off.
Now, why'd it piss you off? No, in two words or less, why'd it piss you off?
The ending?
that is two words or less. Very solid.
Yeah, that's good. That's very good.
Yeah, so, yeah, a lot of this stuff, especially towards the tail end, I'm like, what the fuck is this? But maybe I'll rent or borrow the fourth game just to see what they do.
Is that the one with the woman protagonist, or is that the one on PSP?
No, okay, so since...
Well, let's make it short.
Yeah, make it short. So for the PS3 owners of Assassin's Creed 4, they're adding at least an hour of extra content using Aveline, who is the female protagonist from the PSP game. Which seems pretty cool. I mean, she'll be, you know.
Looks fucking awesome, actually. Yeah.
She has a cool outfit. I like her assassin's garb. And I'm glad they gave her a bit more, like, main console time instead of just the handheld stuff. So, yeah, that's another reason why I kind of am curious about it, because they didn't mention that before. So yeah. We may be talking about Assassin's Creed at some point in the future. Maybe not.
Yep.
Yeah. But in the meantime, enjoy your games. Enjoy whatever you're playing, and be it Pokemon or Final Fantasy or whatever. Yep. We'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
Later. I got your back. I got your back. I got your back.
Best so you're to watch best your
to watch your front. Because I can't say that.